All right, so before I go on, I just want to apologize for last week. I tried to present in our passage three different themes, and my daughter told me I was confused. So I didn't good a good I didn't do a good job presenting that yesterday, at least for her. But I think that the three themes were very appropriate. I mean, the last one specifically was talking about that need that we have to listen, right? Not only hear, but to listen. And of course, it's very apropos. It's concerning. It means that it was appropriate for us to talk about that, because I know that when we come to church, we bring a whole lot of things with us, right? There's all kinds of events that are going on in our lives. We have all kinds of things that are going on in our minds and in our thoughts, and it's very difficult for us to listen. It's very hard for us to concentrate, especially for someone like me. I have ADD. You know what ADD is, right? Yeah. So I just can't follow. So I understand, and I'm going to do my best to keep it on the narrow, all right? So that we can really hear and really listen. So today, I will invite you to please stay with me and listen, okay? Listen. In a nutshell, I just want for us to hear what God has for us. Maybe there is a nugget, right, of wisdom somewhere in there, in my words. Maybe you can take that home. So I'm going to start with this question. Who's the boss? Who's the boss? Now, of course, you all have the answer, right? That's the title of the TV series in the 80s. Don't you remember? Right? That TV series, Tony Danza, I think is the guy that was in it. Y'all remember that? All right, some of you do. All right, and I remember that he was serving in a household, was a, I think the lady was an owner of a business or something, and they had sort of a weird relationship there that was going on. And I remember he was going like, "Who's the boss?" and pointing like that. My wife's dad used to do that, right? She would point to the wife. Who's the boss, right? And I know that there's many instances in our culture where that situation is being lifted up. Who's the boss? Who's in charge? And a lot of us actually want to take charge ourselves, right? Because it seems that there's so much havoc around us that there is no control about anything. And we tend just to say, okay, so if there's everything is out of control, then I'll do it. Right? Then I'll take over. So I think that the fact is that those characters are a reflection of what we are struggling with, of what we are dealing with, what we face on a daily basis. Who's in charge? Who's the one that is leading us? Now, here the text goes around this subject, but it includes an even more relevant aspect of life. It's not who's the boss. The question is, who's the leader? Who do we follow? Who are the ones, or who is the one that we're going to hold in that place where we're looking towards to guide us, to lead us in our steps, in our lives, to bring life to our lives? And the Israelites are just looking around them, and they're looking for a leader, and they're thinking, man, we need somebody that will provide us with protection, with security, with justice, and not only that, but check it out, stature in the world. They want to be somebody. I don't know, did you miss that? Because they were looking around, and all the people around them, they're saying, oh, we need to be like these others. Being somebody in the world? Because they figured that they needed more than God. I'm going to let that stand for a little bit, because I want you to think about that just for a minute. Just for a second, please. Just think about it. We live, we exist, we have the opportunity of having a relationship with God. In the case of the Israelites, they had the living God as their leader, speaking to them, giving them direction. And then they see Samuel. They probably looked at Samuel and said, this guy is like Reuben, he's getting old. He's getting old, and we need somebody that is younger. Not only that, he's got two kids, and the kids are worth nothing. They're imbeciles. Look at what verse 3 says about the kids. They turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. You see, they only had two tasks. It's to represent the people and do justice. And they were taking from people and perverting justice. No wonder Israel is looking around and saying, we need something else. Now, one would say that they were justified. Right? You're justified. If I looked at Reuben, I would say, forget it. If I looked at guys that were doing something like that, I would say, forget it. We need something else. Because they are the ones who were supposed to represent God's justice, and it wasn't going well. And it seems like today, everywhere that we look, in our own lives, in our families, congregations, it seems like not everything is going well. Don't you think? So we could be justified in looking elsewhere for a leader. Because sometimes it seems like God is not there. And what they say is, okay, who are we going to call? I'm sorry for the movie, Reverend. Right? Who are we going to call? Who's going to help us here? Give us a king. Give us a king. So God says to Daniel, who was really hurt, right? He was hurt. He was a little mad too. He was livid. And God says to him, listen to all they say to you. There's that word again. Right? Listen to all they say to you. Because what they're saying is important, but it's not against you. Did you capture that? They're not speaking against you, they're speaking against me. Now, if anybody has experienced rejection, If anybody has been not only pushed aside and beaten up and done wrong, is God. Right? I mean, he tells it to them, right? All the way from when I brought them out of Egypt, I freed them. I gave them lives. I took them across the river, across the waters. And the next thing they do is do what? They're going to other gods. Now imagine that. There is God who loves this people. And he is the target of all their anxiety, of all their insecurity, of everything that they're feeling, and they reject him. So God proceeds to show them a little bit of the future in their situation. Okay, basically he says, I see what you see. I've been here before, and I'm just going to warn you. Go ahead, do that. But here's what's going to happen. And the key word here is take. Okay? Could you say that with me?
Take.
This wanted king will take your sons, take your daughters, and that's just to start. He says, verse 14 through 17, and he will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. And he will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to his work. And he will take 1/10 of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. Take away from you and enslave you. Now, hear this. This is exactly what happens in our lives. You've heard that saying, right? It's greener on the other side, right? The grass is greener on the other side. It looks much better. This is exactly what was happening with Israel. They were looking around and saying, man, that king must be great. Look at their army. Man, that king must be really neat. Look at what they're doing, and they're conquering here and conquering there. We want to be somebody. This is what happens to us today. We're looking around. And we see the people that have the money, right? Hello? We see the people that have the positions. We see the people that are doing well, supposedly. And we say, we want to be like them. We want to have that. We want to have the house. I want to have the car. I want to have all these supposedly needs met. And we do not realize what's really going on. So this is what God is telling the people. You want someone to lead you, he's going to take away from you. I mean, injustice everywhere, right? There's all kinds of things showing up. Abuse, crime. George was praying about all that. And we think that if we have an earthly leader, right, that is going to solve the problem. But we don't realize that this leader is going to take and take and take from us. God says, all right, this boss is going to take your lives away, and he's going to enslave you. Now, when I hear that, I think of something that sometimes we don't like to think about. You know who the deceiver is? Oh, come on, yeah, say it, come on, man, come on. Say it. There is a devil out there, right? There's an evil one. There is a deceiver that comes and paints things so beautiful and so attractively that we just, I just want that. If I could only have that. And he just shows us the kingdoms of the world, right? And he says, if you only had these things, you'd be so much better. That's his job. That's the job of that one influence in our lives, is just to make things look that so that you imagine a different administration taking over. Have you seen any restaurant saying, under new administration, right? And that's why he's saying, it's just, hey man, all you need is a new administration. Believe me, it's the same kitchen. Right? The kitchen hasn't changed. It's still there. It's still the same thing. And it's probably the same people. But as long as we can believe, right, that there's something better, then we want it. And here's what I think that we can take home from this today. God is enough. God is enough. Repeat that with me. God is enough. Now, I want you to pray this. I want you to pray this. God is more than enough. He's more than enough for me. He's more than enough for our congregation. He's more than enough for this community. He's more than enough for the city, for Denver, for the United States, for Sri Lanka, Taiwan. He's more than enough for this world. He's more than enough for anybody that is looking for a solution in their lives. Amen. I mean, it doesn't matter what's going on around us. I tell you, this is what happens with television. It just shows us all the bad, right? And it just creates all this anxiety within. And sometimes we just think, ah, this God is not working. Well, that's exactly where Israel was. Exactly. This God is not working. And I think that we're better off if we got one that we can see. No matter what is going on within us, God is enough. So who's the boss?
Jesus.
The question is he enough?
Yes.
Amen. And I better leave it right there. I'm ready to go on. But I just want to leave you with this. God created you. Right? God created you. God knows every single spot in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit, everything that is going on in your life, God knows. So imagine that. He not only created you, but he raised you. And he not only raised you, but he redeemed you. And he not only did that, but he saved you. And he not only did that, but he given you life. And if we just can take that with us, then we can say, God is enough. He's the king. And I don't need anything else in my life because he has given me everything that I really need. So let's pray. Father, we see the people of Israel and we see the struggle. We see how real it is. It is evident. It's so evident that we can feel it in our own lives. How difficult it is to look around us and feel empty. Feel like there is something else. But Lord, I want to acknowledge today that you are the only one that can look after my welfare. Because you're the only one that really loves us for who we are. And I pray, God, that that kingdom of yours will reign over my life continually, evenly, and allow me to submit to you every day because you are my King. We pray this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.